Dean is alternate delegate. Bob has a couple of announcements for us.
Aloha, everybody. Welcome back. We're trying to catch up a little so that we can get to dinner on time tonight. We're going to try and end it pretty much on time, but those of you who have Friday night dinner tickets, go straight over to that ballroom behind us, because that's where dinner will be served, correct? Thank you, Kunani. We love technology here, and it doesn't always work the way we hope. So we'll apologize, not so much in advance, because we've had some tech issues, but in the middle of the ongoing process that we're learning. Please bear with us. We'd love to have your suggestions. And don't forget, after PRASA, there will be a follow-up meeting if you'd like to let us know anything. And please fill out your survey, because this will only help the next PRASA be better. The other thing is there are seats available up in front. I'm seeing empty seats, and I see a lot of you in the back. So if you'd like to come up front, please do. That way you might be able to hear a little better. If you don't want to hear better, offer your seat to someone in back, and you can go in the back and they can come up in front. I think that's all the announcements I do have, except I will announce this. We may do it again later, but Area 93, are you out there? This should be posted on the bulletin board out there too, but your photos will be tomorrow at 10:45 at the Aloha sign in the lobby. That was handed to me. I have no interpretation of that. Please help each other find the Aloha sign. Thank you.
Okay, welcome to panel three. Our reader for this panel is Devin C.
Aloha, my name is Devin. I am an alcoholic from Western Washington, Area 72. Grateful to be here. I'm reading a passage that was published in Language of the Heart. It's an article titled, Rules Dangerous, but Unity Vital, and it's from 1945. Does Alcoholics Anonymous have a public relations policy? Is it adequate to meet our present and future needs? Though it has never been definitely formulated or precisely stated, we certainly have a partly formed public relations policy. Like everything else in AA, it has grown up out of trial and error. Nobody invented it. Nobody has ever laid down a set of rules or regulations to cover it. And I hope no one ever will. This is because rules and regulations seem to be little good for us. They seldom work well. When we were we to proceed by rules, somebody would have to make them, and more difficult still, somebody would have to enforce them. Rulemaking has often been tried. It usually results in controversy among the rulemakers as to what the rules should be. And when it comes to enforcing an edict, well, you all know the answer. When we try to enforce rules and regulations, however reasonable, we almost always get in so Dutch that our authority disappears. A cry goes up. Down with the dictators, off with their heads. Hurt and astonished, control committee after control committee, leader after leader, makes the discovery that human authority, be it ever so impartial or benign, seldom works long or well in our affairs. Alcoholics, no matter if ragged, are yet the most rugged of individuals, true anarchists at heart. Of course, nobody claims this trait of ours to be a sterling virtue. During his first AA years, every AA has had plenty of the urge to revolt against authority. I know I did, and I can't claim to be over it yet. I've also served my time as a maker of rules, a regulator of other people's conduct. I, too, have spent sleepless nights nursing my wounded ego, wondering how others whose lives I sought to manage could be so unreasonable, so thoughtless of poor me. I can now look back upon such experiences with much amusement and gratitude as well. They taught me that the very quality which prompted me to govern other people was the identical egocentricity which boiled up in my fellow AAs when they themselves refused to be governed. Thank you.
Thank you, Devin. And now I'll introduce our timer. Jenna, I'm sorry, this thing didn't scroll for me.
Aloha. My name is Jenna, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group is the Firing Line, and I'm serving as DCM for District 5 in Area 58. For this session, each of the presenters will be given an 8-minute presentation. The green light comes on immediately after the presenter introduces themselves. The yellow caution light comes on after 7 minutes, and the red light ends the presentation. If the red light turns on, we will thank the speaker with a warm applause. If the presentation is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 16 minutes with a yellow light at 14. Sharing from the floor, microphones will be timed at 2 minutes, and yellow light comes on at 90 seconds. The red light at 2 minutes, followed by a loving applause. If the speaker is being interpretive, the time allowed will be doubled for for 4 minutes, with the yellow light coming on at 3.
Okay, thank you, Jenna. Let's get to the right spot here. Okay. So, tech folks, this scrolling thing is not as easy as I was told. I'm really glad I'm with family, because otherwise I'd be really nervous. Okay. I'm gonna go to this. So our first presenter, practicing concept 9, how well do our service organizations work together? It's Anulfo G, who is also going to be interpreted by Doris.
Aloha. Okay. Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Alunfo y soy alcohólico. Gracias a Dios no he bebido hoy. Mi fecha de sobriedad es septiembre 22 del 2002. Mi grupo base es el grupo La Salida en la ciudad de Upland, California. Y actualmente soy el secretario del área 5 del panel 75.
Good afternoon. My name is Arnulfo and I am an alcoholic. Thank God I have not had a drink of alcohol today. My sobriety date is September 22nd of 2002. My home group is Grupo La Salida in Upland, California. And I'm currently the Area 5 Secretary, Panel 75.
Hoy se me ha pedido que hable sobre la práctica del concepto 9 y que explore la siguiente pregunta. ¿Qué también trabajan juntas nuestras organizaciones de servicio?
Today, I have been asked to speak on practicing concept 9 and to explore the question, how well do our service organizations work together?
El concepto 9 proviene de los 12 conceptos para el servicio mundial que describen los principios espirituales detrás de nuestra estructura de servicio en Alcohólicos Anónimos. El concepto 9 establece un buen liderazgo de servicio en todos los niveles es indispensable para nuestro futuro, nuestro funcionamiento y seguridad en el futuro.
Concept 9 comes from the 12 concepts for world service, which outlines the spiritual principles behind our service structure in Alcoholics Anonymous. Concept 9 states, good service leadership at all levels is indispensable for our future functioning and safety.
Esta es una afirmación poderosa. Nos dice que el liderazgo no es opcional, es indispensable, absolutamente necesario para que Alcohólicos Anónimos funcione y se mantenga seguro.
That's a powerful statement. It tells us that leadership is not optional. It is indispensable, absolutely necessary, for AA to function and remain safe.
Pero el concepto 9 no trata únicamente sobre individuos en posiciones de liderazgo. También se refiere a cómo nuestros cuerpos de servicio trabajan juntos, cómo fluyen entre ellos la responsabilidad, la autoridad y la rendición de cuentas.
But concept 9 isn't only about individuals in leadership positions. It also speaks to how our service bodies work together, how responsibility, authority, and accountability flow between them.
Así que esta tarde me gustaría analizar unos puntos como los siguientes. Primero, lo que realmente significa el concepto 9. Segundo, cómo están diseñadas nuestras organizaciones de servicio para funcionar juntas. Y tercero, qué tan bien estamos practicando realmente esa cooperación.
So I'd like to look at a couple of things. One, what Concept 9 really means. Two, how our service organizations are designed to function together. And three, how well we are actually practicing that cooperation.
Primero, el concepto 9 nos enseña que el liderazgo es necesario. La responsabilidad debe estar claramente definida, la autoridad debe corresponder a la responsabilidad y siempre debe existir rendición de cuenta. También nos recuerda que el buen liderazgo se basa en la confianza. Confiar en un borracho solo en Alcohólicos Anónimos.
Concept 9 teaches us that leadership is necessary. Responsibility must be clearly defined. Authority must match responsibility, and accountability must always exist. It also reminds us that good leadership is based on trust. And to trust the drunk who is in AA.
Only in AA we trust the drunk.
Oh. Okay.
En Alcohólicos Anónimos, el liderazgo no trata de control ni de poder. Repito, en Alcohólicos Anónimos, el liderazgo no trata de control ni de poder. Se trata de servicio. Nuestros servidores de confianza no son gobernantes, son custodios de una responsabilidad que les ha sido confiada por la comunidad.
Okay. In AA, leadership is not about control or power. It is about service. Our trusted servants are not governors. They are caretakers of a responsibility given to them by the fellowship.
El concepto 9 también nos advierte sobre unos peligros, dos peligros. Un liderazgo débil donde nadie se está dispuesto a asumir responsabilidad. Un ejemplo, grupos sin representación, sin RCG, distritos inactivos, o comités inactivos.
Concept 9 also warns us of two dangers. Weak leadership, where no one is willing to take responsibility, and overreaching leadership, where authority exceeds its proper limits. Also, groups without representatives, no GSRs, inactive districts, and committees without chairs.
Y un liderazgo que se extralimita donde la autoridad excede sus límites apropiados. Esto es cuando en donde un líder nomás escucha su propia conciencia y no la de los demás. Un servicio saludable depende del equilibrio.
And overreaching leadership, where authority exceeds its proper limits, where a leader only listens to their own conscience and not anybody else's.
El punto dos, para entender que también trabajamos juntos, necesitamos entender quiénes somos nosotros. Nuestra estructura de servicio incluye grupos individuales de alcohólicos anónimos, distritos, áreas, la Conferencia de Servicios Generales, la Oficina de Servicios Generales, AA World Service Inc., AA Great Bank Inc. Cada uno tiene un propósito específico.
To understand how well we work together, we need to understand who we are. Our service structure includes individual AA groups, districts, areas, the General Service Conference, the General Service Office, AA World Services Inc., AA Grapevine Inc. Each has a specific purpose.
Los grupos llevan el mensaje directamente a los alcohólicos, los distritos apoyan a los grupos, las áreas coordinan y conectan a los distritos. La conferencia actúa como la voz colectiva de la comunidad. La OSG y las juntas corporativas se encargan de la administración, la literatura y otros servicios.
Groups carry the message directly to alcoholics. Districts support the groups. Areas coordinate and connect districts. The conference acts as a collective voice of the fellowship. GSO and the corporate boards handle administration, literature, and services. None of these bodies exist independently. They are independent.
El punto tres, cuando trabajamos bien juntos, cuando nuestras organizaciones de servicio trabajan bien juntas, ciertas cosas se hacen evidentes. La comunicación fluye claramente desde los grupos hacia los distritos, de los distritos a las áreas, y de las áreas a la conferencia y de regreso.
When our service organizations work well together, certain things are evident. Communication flows clearly from groups to districts, from districts to areas, and from areas to the conference, and back again.
Los servidores de confianza entienden sus funciones y respetan las funciones de los demás. Se honra la autoridad delegada, las decisiones se explican, no se imponen, hay confianza incluso cuando hay desacuerdos.
Trusted servants understand their roles and respect the roles of others. Delegated authority is honored. Decisions are explained, not imposed. There is trust, even when there is disagreement.
Cuando la cooperación es saludable, los grupos se sienten informados en lugar de desconectados. Los distritos se sienten apoyados en lugar de aislados y las áreas se sienten confiadas en lugar de cuestionadas constantemente. Y la conferencia refleja la conciencia de la comunidad en lugar de las opiniones de unos pocos.
When cooperation is healthy, groups feel informed rather than disconnected. Districts feel supported rather than isolated. Areas feel trusted rather than second-guessed. And the conference reflects the conscience of the fellowship rather than the opinions of a few.
Pero también sabemos que surgen desafíos. Por a veces la comunicación se interrumpe por el lenguaje, por distintos idiomas, por las comunidades remotas, por la falta de servidores. A veces las personalidades eclipsan los principios. Las personalidades eclipsan los principios. Es como cuando alguien vota por su padrino, aunque no esté capacitado para el servicio, o porque no voto por alguien nomás porque me cae mal. A veces los cuerpos de servicio operan en compartimientos aislados en lugar de en colaboración.
But we also know that challenges arise. Sometimes communication breaks down, such as language barriers. Some districts have different languages. Also remote communities or the lack of servants. Sometimes roles are misunderstood. Sometimes personalities overshadow principles, such as, I'm going to vote for my sponsor, or I'm not going to vote for him because I don't like him.
Un distrito puede sentirse ignorado por el área. También un área puede sentirse frustrada por la falta de participación. Los grupos pueden no entender lo que sucede más allá de su reunión de negocios. Los miembros pueden cuestionar decisiones sin comprender el proceso detrás de ello. Cuando la confianza se debilita, la cooperación también se debilita.
A district may feel unheard by the area. An area may feel frustrated with lack of participation. Groups may not understand what happens beyond their business meeting. Members may question decisions without understanding the process behind them. When trust weakens, cooperation weakens.
Entonces, ¿cómo nos vamos a evaluamos honestamente? Podemos preguntarnos en nuestras áreas, ¿se sienten los grupos conectados con la estructura de servicio más amplia? ¿Están los servidores de confianza capacitados y apoyados? ¿Son transparentes las decisiones? ¿Practicamos la rotación para evitar la concentración de poder? Importante la rotación es cuando un alcohólico dice que no hay nadie más que pueda hacer el servicio. Déjenle que les digo que sí lo hay. Hay más de 2 millones de alcohólicos registrados. Nos guiamos por principios antes que por personalidades.
So how do we honestly evaluate ourselves? We can ask, do groups feel connected to the larger service structure? Are trusted servants trained and supported? Are decisions transparent? Do we practice rotation to prevent concentration over power? Does the alcoholic say, oh, there's nobody else, when there are? Are we guided by principles rather than by personalities?
Si la mayoría de las respuestas son sí, entonces estamos practicando bien el concepto 9.
If the answers are mostly yes, then we are practicing concept 9 well.
Pero si no, el concepto 9 nos invita a practicarlo, a fomentar el desarrollo de liderazgo, proporcionar descripciones claras de los puestos de servicio, respetar los manuales y guías de servicio, comunicarnos regularmente y con claridad, practicar la humildad cuando no estamos de acuerdo, apoyar la rotación para que nuevos líderes puedan crecer.
And if not, Concept 9 offers us direction for growth, encouraging leadership development, providing clear job descriptions, respecting service manuals and guidelines, communicating regularly and clearly, practicing humility when we disagree, supporting rotation so new leaders can grow.
Okay, en conclusión, el concepto 9 nos dice que un buen liderazgo de servicio es indispensable no solo en la cima, sino en todos los niveles. Cuando nuestros grupos, distritos, áreas, miembros de la conferencia y oficina de servicios cooperan con confianza y respeto mutuo, Alcohólicos Anónimos se mantiene fuerte.
In conclusion, Concept 9 tells us that good service leadership is indispensable, not just at the top, but at every level. When our groups, districts, areas, conference members, and service offices cooperate in trust and mutual respect, AA remains strong.
Al final, el concepto 9 no trata solamente de estructura. Se trata de liderazgo espiritual en acción.
In the end, Concept 9 is not about structure alone. It is about spiritual leadership in action.
Y cuando nuestras organizaciones de servicio verdaderamente trabajan juntas, el verdadero beneficiario es el alcohólico que aún está sufriendo.
And when our service organizations truly work together, the real beneficiary is the alcoholic who has not yet found us.
Gracias, Área 17, Hawái. Gracias a cada uno de ustedes por su tiempo y su servicio.
Thank you, Area 17, Hawaii. Thank you for each one of you for your time and service.
I was going to ask you to do that. Okay, good. Thank you, tech team. Okay. Our next presenter is Lisa I. Come on up. Trusted servants, are we finding and keeping the leaders we need?
Thanks, Phil. Aloha. My topic is trusted servants, Are we finding and keeping the leaders we need? My name is Lisa, and I am an alcoholic. When I was first given this topic, my mind didn't go right to the finding part. It went to the people that are staying here, the retention. It went to the people who've rotated out and still show up, not because they're funded or on the area agenda, but because they love Alcoholics Anonymous and they have that commitment to serve. Those past delegates and trustees have helped me grow more than they probably know. Their quiet guidance, their steadiness, their perspective, that has been leadership to me. And it makes me wonder, how do we grow more of that? When I was first elected as my home group's alternate GSR, I had no idea what I had gotten myself into. I was almost 2 years sober, I was pregnant, and my home group didn't choose me because I was the best candidate. They chose me because no one else would do it, and I said yes. I was told I needed to attend district meetings and report back to my group, and honestly, that felt like a lot. I remember walking into my first district meeting feeling like a stranger in a strange land. Our DCM ran that meeting with a sense of love and duty. There was warmth there. There was purpose. So I followed the joy. At first, I wouldn't ask any questions. I assumed everybody else knew what was going on. And later, I learned that they didn't. Most of us don't. When I finally found the courage to ask the questions, the people around me scooped me up. They helped me understand the process. They made room for me. I'm grateful they didn't overwhelm me in the beginning. I was given bite-sized pieces, and I got comfortable where I was before I was shown what was next. And that experience makes me ask, are we overwhelming people? There's so much to know and so much to do, and yes, we can do it all, but not all at once. And so when someone steps into service, are we allowing them to focus on the job they have today? Or are we overwhelming them with everything they might someday do? So maybe the question isn't just, are we finding the leaders that we need? Maybe it's, are we developing them? Sometimes we're so grateful when someone says yes that we fill a seat without asking if they are willing and available. Do they have the capacity right now? Service is time-consuming. We owe it to our members to be honest about what the job requires before they take it on. And once they're elected, are we supporting them? Tradition 2 tells us our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And Concept 9, well, we just heard a lot about Concept 9, thank you, that good service leadership at all levels is indispensable for our future functioning and safety. Leadership matters. An AA can have perfect structure and still struggle without good leaders. So what is a trusted servant? To me, a trusted servant is the chairperson at my home group that I trust to show up and lead the meeting. And it's the people in these rooms that show up to bring the message back to our home group. A trusted servant listens before speaking. They invite participation. They practice unity, develop others, and they rotate with grace. They serve from love, not from ego. And maybe most importantly, they leave the room stronger than they found it. Concept 9 also teaches balance. A trusted servant must be allowed the responsibility to act, the authority to carry it out, and accountability to the body they serve. If we elect someone and micromanage them, that isn't trust. If we elect someone and abandon them, that isn't either. Trust requires support without control. Are we choosing people who will listen, who will consult, who can make decisions when necessary, and stand firm when guided by AA principles? A true servant leader seeks input, weighs it carefully, and acts for the good of the whole, not to win, not to dominate, not to feed their egos, but to serve. When the guard changes, are we allowing the new person to step fully into that role, or are we hovering and comparing? We don't have to do the job like the person before us. The same job can be done differently and still done well. Leadership in AA is not a personality, it's a principle. Are we encouraging questions? Someone told me the most important thing to know in general service is the table of contents. You don't have to know everything, you just need to know where to find it. Are we creating rooms where questions are welcome? Do we invite the quiet voices to speak? Some of the most thoughtful ideas are sitting quietly at the table. We talk about carrying the message to the alcoholic who still suffers, but are we carrying the message to our trusted servants? Are we telling them spiritual growth happens in general service? Service can be joyful and also really important. Thank you. Are we telling them thank you? Are we leaving them exhausted and discouraged? Burnout is real. Are we leading them to burnout or into inspiration? Are we loving about this work? If you see someone who needs encouragement, take their hand. At the end of each rotation, I pray, God, I'm willing to serve you in whatever capacity you see fit, and I am completely okay if I don't get voted in. Show me where you want me. And that doesn't mean I won't have feelings about the way things go, but I really do mean it, because this isn't mine, this is ours. And here I am 16 years later, more in love with general service than I ever have been before, because someone developed me. Someone made room for me. Someone let me grow. I was not polished. I was not trained. And I wasn't even sure I was ready. But someone created an environment where leadership could grow. Leadership in AA is not fully found, fully formed. It's developed. So I'll leave you with this. Are we widening the welcome? Are we choosing leaders based on spiritual qualities, not just availability? Do we make service work attractive, or do we just complain about all that we must do? Once elected, do we truly trust them? Are we building a culture where someone new, maybe even someone who only has 2 years sober with a new baby at home, can walk into a district meeting and fall in love with service? Because that's how we keep the leaders we need, not by demanding more, not by loving them into growth. And I believe this with my whole heart. The future of Alcoholics Anonymous isn't waiting somewhere ahead of us. It's sitting quietly in the back of the room wondering if they belong. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. I'll introduce our next panelist, Joanne C., Building Trust, Our Areas, Districts, and Intergroups Sharing the Load or Protecting Turf.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joanne, and I am an alcoholic. I'm currently serving as the alternate area chair and public information chair in BC Yukon Area 79. This topic goes right to the heart of how we function as trusted servants, especially today. Building trust, our areas, districts, and intergroups sharing the load or protecting turf. This is not just an organizational question, it's a spiritual one. Because whenever we talk about trust, we're talking about relationships between groups, between committees, and between the people who show up to serve. Our service structure was never meant to be a hierarchy of segregated compartments. It was designed to be a network, a structure meant to complement and support each other in our primary purpose. But over time, as responsibilities grow and personalities enter the picture, something subtle can begin to happen. Instead of asking, how can we help, we start asking, whose job is this? Instead of sharing the load, we start guarding our corner. Instead of collaborating, we drift into silos. Why? Because we are human. And we bring all of that humanness with us when we show up to serve. I can only share on this topic from my own experience, and when I sat down to consider what I might share with you today, one thought kept repeating itself in my mind. I'm simply not sure how an AA member or any AA service entity could be serving our common welfare and holding its turf at the same time. They simply cannot exist in the same space. I can't see how it's possible to hold position against those you intend to serve and create unity at the same time. When areas, districts, and intergroups are working together, you can feel it. There's transparency, there's communication, there's a sense that we're rowing in the same direction. There's purpose. Sharing the load looks like joint planning instead of parallel planning, information flowing freely instead of being held tightly, committees supporting each other instead of duplicating work, a willingness to ask for help and a willingness to offer it. It's not about the credit, it's about our unity. Turf protection is rarely loud or dramatic. It's actually usually quite quiet, subtle, sometimes well-intentioned. It can sound like that's our job, not theirs. That's not our job, it's theirs. We've always done it this way. They don't understand how we operate. And the biggest red flag? When communication stops altogether. When this happens, it is the very people we are trying to reach that pay the ultimate price. I walked into my very first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous 19 years ago. I have only been sober for an 11 and a half of those years. My inability to get sober in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for those first 8 years is not a failing of this program. It is a testimony to just how powerful this disease really is. Meetings couldn't get me sober. Members couldn't get me sober. Books and pamphlets couldn't get me sober. Nothing, it seemed, could get me sober. In 2014, I seemed hopeless. What I needed was a change sufficient enough to bring about recovery from the disease of alcoholism, a change that could only be brought about by a power greater than myself. You told me I could have a relationship with this power, and that relationship would bring about recovery. You said in order for that to happen, I would need to do the steps. But in order for me to listen to you, I had to trust you. Which meant that you had to conduct yourselves in a trustworthy manner, and thankfully you did. Why? Because you followed our traditions and put our common welfare first. You were the living example of our service concepts by respecting roles and responsibilities. You understood rights of decision, participation, and appeal. You knew how to disagree with each other without punishing each other. And so the traditions and concepts actually played a vital role in saving my life before the steps ever could. Because in my darkest moment, you became the safest place for me. That is why our unity matters. That is what our unity creates, a place for our life-saving message to reach those who desperately need it. This is why it is important for us to be in a constant state of building trust with one another, so we can share the load of work that needs to be done, because lives are already depending upon it. Turf protection is fear-based, sharing the load is trust-based, and trust can't grow in the dark. When we collaborate, everything gets better. More perspectives, better solutions, a more informed group conscience, more transparency, stronger trust, more unity, less drama, more energy for the newcomer, because that's where it belongs. Sharing the load isn't just efficient, it's spiritual, it's humility in action. Trust doesn't appear because we talk about it. Like gratitude, humility, or even sobriety, it can't be conjured without principled action. It appears because we practice it. Inventory for yourself. Do we communicate early or after the fact? If something affects another service body, loop them in before decisions are made. Do we share information freely? Minutes, reports, calendars, contact lists? Transparency builds confidence. Do we invite each other to the table? Joint workshops, shared events, cross-committee collaboration? Have we clarified roles and responsibilities together? Not to draw lines, but to identify overlaps where cooperation is needed and to avoid duplication of efforts where it is not. Do we assume good intentions? Most conflicts come from misunderstandings, not malice. Do we celebrate each other's successes? When one service body shines, we all shine. Do we regularly ask this question, what serves the newcomer best? That question cuts through turf every time. At the end of the day, none of us own this work. We're stewards, not gatekeepers. We're trusted servants, not territorial managers. Our primary purpose is bigger than any committee, district, or area. It's bigger than our preferences and our comfort zones. It's bigger than ourselves. Why? Because lives depend on it. My life depended on it. If we want trust, we have to give it. If we want unity, we have to practice it. If we want collaboration, we have to invite it. The question isn't whether areas, districts, and intergroups should share the load. The question is whether we're willing to let go of self-serving fear long enough to do it. Because when we do, something powerful happens. We stop guarding corners and start serving our fellowship. We stop protecting turf and start protecting the newcomer. We stop working in isolation and start working in unity. This is how trust is built. And when we are trustworthy, we become a unified safety net for the person whose life depends on it. What is more important than that? Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Our next presenter is Cliff B. Seventh Tradition contributions, do they reflect trust, value, or just what's left over?
Aloha prasa. When I got up here, I asked Jenna how much time I had, and she told me that I had 8 minutes after I introduced myself. So we'll get to that in about 10 minutes. I'm a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and my problem is Cliff. Thank you, David. Start timer so that I know how much time I have. When I got here and came to sign in, I met Bob, and Bob said, "You're sharing on Seventh Tradition contributions. Do they reflect trust, values, or just what's left over?" And I said, "What?" I said, "What the hell does that mean?" I said, "I don't know." I had spent 2.5 days preparing a different presentation. I finished this presentation about 10 minutes before I came over here. So I have no idea about the timing. When I was 90 days sober, my sponsor suggested that I go to Blue Hills Treatment Center in Hartford, Connecticut, and tell my story. I went there. You know, I honestly believe this is an honest program, but I do believe that the passage of time has a tendency to embellish our stories. So I went to that first meeting, the first time I shared my story, and it was an awesome experience. I got there, there were tapestries on the walls, there were candles, and the lights were low, and they had this big cushy chair for me to sit in so that nobody could see me shake, and I told my story. And it was an awesome experience. So I'm back, I told my sponsor that. He said, "Great, because I've got another commitment for you." Second one was at the Shirley Frank Foundation in New Haven, Connecticut. I went there, and there was this sea of people, and people in bathrobes and paper slippers, and there were thousands of them. Somewhere in the back, Jesus was feeding people with loaves and fishes. And I looked at all of these people, and it was a very, they handed me a microphone, and I said, "Hi, My name's... It was 14 years before I stood in front of a microphone and spoke again. So we start there. Okay, seventh tradition. Do they reflect trust, value, or just what's left over? The seventh tradition of Alcoholics Anonymous states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. This principle is far more than what's left over after expenses. It's a core spiritual and practical foundation of our fellowship. AA deliberately chose to rely solely on voluntary contributions for its own members. This keeps our fellowship free from outside influences, string attached to donations, or the risk of corruption that could come from large gifts, endowments, or public fundraising. Early in AA's history, the fellowship experimented with outside money and saw problems like interference from donors who donors or disputes over funds, so they rejected it outright. When I was an intergroup rep with the Salt River Intergroup in Arizona, we received a bequeathment, but we were bequeathed, is that a word? Okay, we were bequeathed, $50,000. And we knew that we weren't supposed to take that kind of contribution, so we got in touch with the General Service Board in New York and wound up giving back $40,000 of the $50,000 that we were bequeathed. And the reason for that was the seventh tradition. The goal in AA is corporate poverty. Bare expenses plus a prudent reserve, not wealth or accumulation. So does this reflect trust, values, or leftovers? It's not just what's left over. Contributions aren't scraps or afterthoughts, and members are encouraged to give regularly and responsibly whatever they can afford, even small amounts, to cover rent, literature, coffee, and support broader services like intergroups, subdivisions, districts, areas, and general service, and the general service office that help carry the message to the suffering alcoholics worldwide. Leftover funds after group expenses are often passed on through the service structure, not hoarded. It's my personal belief that, like all politics, all politics is local. I believe that we need to spend more of our resources on the sub-district level and at the district level, and allow those levels to move the money down the pyramid as they don't need them. Too often, our GSRs aren't getting to assemblies because they can't afford it, while our groups are sending money to area or to New York. I believe that we should first send money to our sub-districts so that we can get our GSRs to assemblies and our groups' voices can be heard. You're kidding. Okay. In AA literature, the principle behind the seventh tradition is responsibility. Money and spirituality do mix here. Contributions are a way to express gratitude, take ownership, and ensure the hand of AA will always be there to support the next alcoholic without compromise. It's ultimately about preserving the fellowship's freedoms, spiritual focus, and ability to help others through active, voluntary participation rather than passive leftovers or external entanglements. The basket isn't a bill, it's a spiritual connection. that unites individuals and groups worldwide. It reflects the value we place on the life we were given back. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cliff. Our next presenter is Dan M. Communications breakdown, are groups hearing from service bodies or tuning out?
Hi, everyone. I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic. I have the profound honor of serving as Panel 76 delegate for Area 92. My home group is Northern Lights in Spokane, Washington. And by the grace of a higher power and this fellowship, my sobriety date is January 10th, 1979. We're here today to talk about communication. Specifically, are groups actually hearing from their service bodies, or have they simply started tuning out? In our efforts to handle the business of Alcoholics Anonymous, I always try to keep the spirituality of the program at the absolute forefront of my mind. It is, after all, a spiritual program that saved my life. The power of AA is practically implemented through the 12 steps, our 12 traditions, and our 12 concepts. But to make those concepts work, we rely on one very fragile, very vital thing: an informed group conscience. A massive part of our group conscience relies on how we discuss and share information. It's incredibly helpful for me to remember that sharing my informed opinions with my fellow AA members is a lot like doing a fifth step. When I share honestly, openly, and accurately with another alcoholic, whether we're sitting in a meeting or hashing things out in a business meeting, that vulnerability allows God of my understanding to actually participate in that discussion. I found that when I keep the spiritual principle in mind, I can feel completely at peace when action is taken, even if I personally voted against the outcome. So first, I need to be honest with some things. I know I have not always taken the time to be informed. And worse, being uninformed has rarely stopped me from loudly expressing my opinion. When I act that way, it doesn't promote spirituality in me and certainly does not promote it in anyone else. It's actually like those times when I'm spiritually disturbed, but instead of taking my own inventory, I just want to air out my resentments. In those moments, I'm not looking for solutions. I'm just looking for hostages. I want to find other people to agree with me. As alcoholics, we're masters of rationalization. I can easily rationalize my anger into a fantasy, telling myself, I just have deep passion for the good of AA. I can even justify attacking other members of the program who happen to disagree with me. I mean, isn't that what social media is for? Because of this communication breakdown, we start to hear the rumor mill churn. All the things I've said in meetings and the things I've heard other old-timers over the years say. You may have heard some of these too. Like, they got rid of the 24-hour day book because there was too much God in it. The plain language book is a secret effort to get God out of AA. The change in the preamble, that's just AA trying to go woke. and get God out of the program. I even heard at a meeting the chair announced that they had free literature in the back, but also added, it's from the 1970s and it'd be nice to get rid of it. The most heartbreaking example for me happened in a meeting packed with newcomers. Another old timer, someone with time like me, shared how he was terrified AA was going to end because of all the drug talk allowed in some meetings. As he spoke, I looked around at the newcomers and thought how terrifying that statement would have been to me when I was newly sober. Imagine you finally drag yourself into the doors of AA and finally find a tiny glimmer of hope and a guy who has been there for decades tell you that the whole thing's falling apart and going away. All this chaos, all this fear is because I and others like me don't make the necessary effort to be informed about what actually is going on. So how do I make amends for my past behaviors in service? Like most amends with people I love, usually it takes more than one attempt to get it right. My first attempt looks something like this. I would take all the information I gathered, pass it to other general service workers, maybe read a little bit of it myself. I'd rationalize that I didn't need to deeply inform myself because I trusted them to do the right thing. And that worked great right up to until they did something I didn't agree with. And then the resentment was back. My next attempt was a little better. I passed on all the information. I actually read it myself. But then I sat back and watched others. I watched them either not pass it on or pass it on and not read it. I'd rationalize it's in God's hands, but deep down I was playing the martyr. I resented the uninformed members mostly because they didn't feel like they appreciated all the hard work I did. My last attempt, the one I'm practicing now, looks a little different. I get informed, but I don't just dump raw data on and information on groups and expect them to care. If you just dump data on them, they'll tune out. Instead, I help to put some context to the information and try to explain why it's important, how it impacts the alcoholic who still suffers, and why the higher power needs to be present in all the discussions and decisions. When I'm clear on how the 12 steps work in service structure, I can be helpful and part of the discussion without portraying myself as some kind of authority just because of my experience, my sobriety time, or my service position. I'm a work in progress on this last attempt. But like in all things in AA, when I ask for help, I get a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, let me find where we're at here.
We're not gonna have a conversation. I can make the announcement.
Okay, Bob's got an announcement.
Aloha, everybody. I have good news and bad news, and a bunch of announcements. The good news is that we have the traditional Sunday What's on Your Mind. The bad news is, so that we can do dinner on time, we're not going to have Mike after this. We would love to hear what you have to say, but we would ask you to put it in the Ask It basket or come on Sunday, because dinner starts in about 5 minutes next door. We are getting everything back on track with the timing. So thank you for understanding. We do want to hear what you have to say. So here are the announcements. One is dinner will open at 5 right next door. So if you have a Friday night dinner ticket, please go on over there. If you are a smoker, they have asked us to let you know, please do not smoke on this property. You must go out to the actual street, which is the one that comes up and down there. Not the road that runs here in the hotel, but actually off the property. We are, and again, let me apologize for any tech glitches with the translation. We are working on that, and they hope to have a solution with a little more AA-oriented language. Next, there will be coffee outside after dinner for $3, I believe it is. And it will also be there tomorrow morning